You're listening to Archer Radio.
Everybody liked Tommy, but I like Grant Goodeve.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, and this is our call-in show, and with me tonight is Stanislaus.
Are we going? No, tonight my name is Cletus.
Cletus, okay. We have Cletus with us tonight.
Your name is Otis.
Otis and Cletus, okay. All right. But now we're going to start up Skype and see who's online. And because the boyfriend, Cletus was singing a little bit there. Why were you singing, Cletus?
Well, remember last time we were talking about your hair hopping music.
Look at all the people on.
Oh.
Tell Stanislaus Beulah that I'll be calling at 9 p.m. That's Mark.
Oh.
And ready to give wine pairing recommendations for the dishes I cook today for my clients.
Oh, excellent.
Very good. So we'll probably talk to him first. Anyway, I'm so sorry. I was getting off track there because we are recording right now. You were saying?
Well, because I was channel surfing and I watched some award show. And who was on? Doing her medley of hits through the years, but Miss Ross. And I know a couple of weekends ago when we had our hair hopping episode, in which you would not stop teasing and spraying your hair, that we likened you to a modern day Supreme. But
yes.
I cautioned that I felt Miss Ross would kick you out of the group.
That's
because
right.
You lack discipline.
That's true.
You lack coordination.
Nah, I don't know about the coordination.
And your hair simply isn't as big as Miss Ross's hair.
I see. So that's what made you think of...
You would be expelled. You would be a step behind with your dancing routines. You would forget the lyrics.
So that's what made you think of me today.
Yeah,
when you saw
I saw her on. She didn't look bad for a 60-year-old gal. And she sounded good, and everyone in the audience was like laughing and cheering, and I thought, and cheering her on. And she had enormous hair, and I thought, there's Archer.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, let me change the subject, but I appreciate that story.
Do you think you could wear a sequined evening gown?
I could. I definitely could, I think.
Do you think you could do the kind of choreography that would make you supreme?
Oh, I don't know about that. That's really questionable.
I've seen you dance. I know you can at least do the hokey pokey.
I can do the Watusi. I was doing that a little bit.
I think you need some more lessons at the Nancy Sinatra School of Go-Go Dancing.
I dance better in the car, don't you think, when I'm sitting down?
You don't move anything.
Well, I moved the top part. Can I change the subject here, sweetheart?
Okay.
I just want to let the listeners know that we are on Skype.
And Skype us.
Oh, and we just got a call from Michael. Well, not a call, but an IM from Michael Perry. Hi, Michael.
Is that the show?
No. He's just sending us an IM. I was going to say that we have Michael Perry on. I believe he's from Altadena, California. We have Mr. Poos is on. We're going to definitely.
Oh, excellent.
I hope to talk to him. And Mark, from the Remarkable Palette podcast.
Oh, excellent. I want to talk to him, definitely.
So hopefully we'll get one of these people on the Skype line and have a chat with them. He wants to know if we're recording. Yes, we are.
We're live.
Feel free to call.
From Archer Studios.
Oh, we're getting a call from Mark. Oh, wait. Okay, let's see. Let's answer the call. Hello?
Hey there, Archer. It's Chef Mark.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. I just got your message that you said you were going to call tonight.
Yes. Yeah. Are you recording or not?
We are definitely recording. You are on the air. Do we have permission to use your voice?
You may use my voice, as long as you don't dub me doing any naughty things with Stanislaus over there.
And Stanislaus is here tonight, although tonight he would like to be called... what is it?
Cletus.
Cletus.
Cletus? You Cletus. Want me to call you Cletus? Why?
Yeah, well, we're going down to New Orleans in a couple of weeks, and Cletus is very southern, so I will be Cletus, and Archer will be Otis.
and Otis.
Okay. That's right.
Well, I don't know what that makes me. Maybe I'll be Jim Bob.
You're Mark right now, I believe.
Okay, I'll just be Mark.
Oh wait, no. Let's call you Boo.
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 All right, you can call me.
Well,
Boo.
Because you know why? Because I have a cousin. Well, I had an uncle named Otis. Otis didn't have very many teeth in his head, and he talked very quickly. He had a very quick Cajun kind of accent. So he always mixed English with Cajun French, and I could never understood one word Uncle Otis said. So he might have said, "Have another serving of squirrel stew," and I probably would have. I mean, we all said yes. So, and Lord knows what I said yes to with Uncle Otis, but his son was Otis Jr., so we called him Boo. So I think we should call you Boo.
All right. Okay. It makes me think about, well, actually two things. One, of course, is the sort of ghetto use of that. Yeah, my boo, you know, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my boo.
Oh.
But then, of course, I think about Boo Radley from To Kill a Mockingbird. You remember Boo Radley?
Yes, most definitely. Hey, Mark, is there any way you can turn up your volume?
Sure, yeah. Yeah. My headphone volume. I don't know. You guys are really loud.
Oh, see, you're really low.
Okay.
Now, of course, Archer is looking at me as though I'm guilty of being too loud.
Well, you know how the boyfriend or Stanislaw...
Well, I was thinking about that.
Okay. That's much better. Whatever you just did is much better.
Okay. I actually moved the mic closer to my face. Normally, I keep it away so you don't get any plosives. You know what those plosives are.
Yeah, I don't care about those.
All right. Anyway. Now, listen, Stanislaus, Beulah, Otis, I wanted to... Cletus, sorry. Yeah, Archer is Otis. I was thinking about, wouldn't it be fun to do some wine pairings based on the menu that I... the items that I cooked for my clients today.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
That'd be a lot of fun because I actually was podcasting from my client's house this afternoon, and it's going to show up in a future show. You know, I have this new binaural microphones, the ones that you wear in your ears.
Yes, I heard that on today's show.
They're great for sound seeing, and I was able basically just to put them over my ears and turn it on and then do my thing. And so I did my cooking, and I talked about, you know, a day in the life of a personal chef, and I talked about the dishes I was making. So I was thinking that tonight, if we were able to speak, that I could throw out some of these dishes, and you can tell me what of the wines you've been tasting would go good with them.
Yeah.
Oh, he would be able to do that, definitely.
All right.
So I can try.
I did a we had a miso glazed black cod, you know, which is a sable fish. It's become so popular. Everyone loves it now because Nobu Masuhisa does it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a miso glazed sable fish.
Okay.
And should I give you each one and then you'll think of
the whole
menu?
Yeah, what ingredients are in the cod dish with the seasonings?
Well, it's very simple. It's the sable fish, which again is sort of called black cod.
Mm-hmm.
And the marinade, it's very simple. It's miso, sake, mm-hmm. mirin, a little bit of green onion,
mm-hmm.
Let's see, brown sugar and soy sauce. Just a little bit of soy sauce and brown sugar. But the main ingredient, of course, is the mirin and the sake.
Those are
the two main things in the marinade. What happens is you marinate them for several hours, and then you take it out of the marinade and you broil it under the broiler for about 10-15 minutes.
Okay.
And it caramelizes. It gets a nice brown, you know, because of the sugars in there. And then the remaining marinade, you can boil that on the stovetop and make a sauce out of it.
Really so is that because the fish is sounds like it's like a substantive.
It's a very firm fish. Yeah,
a firm fish.
Yeah, like a salmon.
And but the seasonings you have are very sweet, so you want something to counteract the sweet.
Exactly.
That's so,
an oaky Chardonnay.
Well, I was thinking of a Chardonnay that's a little more full-bodied.
Can you think of a Virginia Chardonnay that would go with that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because you guys have been exploring that region so much.
Well, the oakiest Chardonnay we've had is probably the Grey Ghost Reserve Chardonnay. That's the most California style we've had.
Oh, the Grey Ghost, yes. Right. Yeah. That's a great one. Isn't that kind of expensive one?
No,
it's about $19.
Very reasonable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they beat out some California Chardonnay, so that would be a good one. The Piedmont Hunt Country Chardonnay is probably another candidate for a drier Oaky or Chardonnay. I'm trying to think of maybe some kind of like off the wall. We had a very a dry Vidal Blanc at Old House. They do this in a stainless steel, and that would be an interesting. You're in New York, right?
Yes, New York City.
Because there are some wineries in New York. They do some Rieslings up there, I think. If you could find like a dry Riesling, that would kind of. I was trying to think of like opposites. If I'm serving something sweet and cod's a firm fish, so that's an easy fish to work with.
Well, that's why, because for example, the first thing that comes to mind, I'm sure a lot of people would do this, they just drink sake with it.
Yeah.
But I something about that says, well, I mean, that would, first of all, it would be too easy. And yeah. And secondly, it's sort of if the sake is in the marinade, then and you just drink more sake, you're not gonna pull anything out of the dish with the wine. It's just gonna be more of the same.
Yeah.
I thought, well, of course, you know, you drink sake, but maybe, you know, maybe a different kind of wine, something that is maybe is a little sharper.
Yeah, I would do a full body sweetness. Yeah, I'd do a full bodied white with that, like a California style Chardonnay. Or
what about that Twisted Oak Chardonnay or Twisted Oak?
The Twisted Oak Viognier would be perfect with that.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That has a lot of oak, but Viognier is usually fruity.
But this one was
but
really.
But this had a high. This was you definitely got oak out of that. So.
Okay.
That would be an interesting twist.
Good. And you know, what I told you is the whole recipe. So it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Wow.
You do about a cup of miso, a cup of sake, a cup of mirin. And you have to really blend it to make sure that miso all dissolves. You do a little bit of brown sugar to your taste. I don't put it, you know, a lot of recipes call for about a cup, but I just put a few tablespoons of the brown sugar, a little dash of soy sauce, and, you know, chop up some scallions and make that as the marinade. And the marinade itself becomes the sauce later. You know, you cook it on the stovetop, and it quickly reduces down and becomes thicker and darker because you know you're cooking that brown sugar in there, and it caramelizes, and it just becomes a wonderful sauce. I often will serve it with, say, soba noodles, very simply done soba noodles. Again, because the miso and the sugar in that sauce is so strong. It's very sweet and very strong and very, you know, it's very rich. There's a lot of umami in it because of the, you know, because of the miso. Miso is this fermented soybean concoction, and so, you know, it's a very satisfyingly, you know, it's a very satisfying kind of dish because of all that umami flavor from the
It sounds like it's kind of a rich, it could be, I'm thinking of like maybe a Chablis style too. Maybe I'm off base with that though.
I don't know. But I was thinking of the Twisted Oak. I think that would just be perfect for that.
Well, however, you guys should try it, and then you can report back. And
there you
go.
Absolutely.
What was your next thing that you wanted to pair with?
Well, let's see. I'll just run through basically the whole menu that I did today, and the main courses. I did a lamb and polenta bake, which is essentially like a kind of like a casserole dish with a layer of polenta on the bottom, a tomato lamb. Sort of in the middle, the filling with its ground lamb, tomatoes, onions, and fennel. Fennel is really like the key ingredient in that, with some fresh oregano, and that's layered with some Parmesan cheese. And the recipe calls for feta, but my clients today wanted mozzarella because they don't like feta. But I would have, you know, I would use it with feta, and then another layer of polenta on the top.
Oh my God.
On cheese and some and a little bit of parsley, and you bake that in the oven as a casserole, and it just is a lovely. It's kind of like a pastizio kind of thing, but instead of the filling or the casing part is polenta.
Well, now
and that's fun. That's a really rich kind of dish.
That sounds divine, actually.
But now thinking of the lamb, because that would be like the main.
Yes, the main flavor, and it's very if you like lamb, this is a great dish.
Oh yeah,
and I think for people who think that they don't like lamb, this is also a good dish because you get a little bit of that lamby flavor without that sort of muttony kind of sense that too many Americans associate with lamb. It's just that, they grew up in the '50s and they had mutton. They were being served mutton and they didn't realize it, which is why they hate lamb. But lamb is really amazing flavor, especially what we're getting now.
Well, I love lamb. I absolutely love it.
I won't eat it, but he...
Well, no, Archer thinks he hasn't eaten it. But in fact, he has.
He snuck it in. Well, just like he thinks he hasn't eaten the vegetables. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so what would you serve with that then?
Oh, you're transitioning away from your eating your eating habits. Well, the classic, I think, with that one, you could do
a red.
Oh, definitely, you have to do a red.
Yes, yeah, I would.
I'm just trying to think of which red. You could do maybe a Zinfandel, a red Zinfandel with that.
But a heavy California Zin.
Yeah, like a Klein Zinfandel might go well with that. A Syrah. Oh, Syrah is the classic pairing with lamb, and you've got some. Mm-hmm. The polenta in there creates a little bit of a richness. I might do the. I had something else in mind though. Oh, Pinot Noir. I think I would definitely serve a Pinot Noir with that. From what you're describing, I would have a nice Oregon, like a Willamette. In fact, I can even recommend a label, Argyle Pinot Noir. I think would be divine with that.
Excellent. Well, that's good. We'll see. Already, see, we are two out of the five dishes. We've already got pairings for them.
Yeah.
And the other ones, I did a hearty beef stew, which is, you know, a typical, very hearty. Got all the vegetables. I had peas. I put cipollini onions in it, carrots, and a mixture of new potatoes. I had some purple Peruvians in there, some red potatoes, and some small white potatoes. So that was a hearty beef stew. And I also did a sweet sake glazed chicken on the bone. Had to be on the bone with the skin on to keep all that moisture in there. And let's see, what was the fifth dish that I did today? Let me run through that. What was the fifth dish? Well, anyway, those are four of the dishes that I made today.
Well, I think with the beef stew.
What would you have with the beef stew?
That's another one you could have.
The Syrah with.
You could do a Syrah. Well, yeah, you could.
I normally think when I pair that, I usually will drink a Cote du Rhone.
I was going to say a Rhone style, like another Syrah. That's another Syrah kind of pairing, I think.
From France, right?
Yeah.
That's like a Saint-Emilion kind of wine with that. It's very, very strong, full-bodied.
Fruit-forward, a lot of fruit-forward.
Very fruit-forward, yeah.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, they chose a lot of very rich dishes today.
Well, I might even try, when I think of beef stew, like fruit-forward things, maybe like a Zinfandel, would a Zinfandel work with that, you think?
Possibly.
I'm thinking like rustic kinds of...
Of
wines. I always think of a Zinfandel, but definitely a Syrah would work with that. And we do have one winery here, and because that's a Cote du Rhone, it's a Rhone style, is a Syrah. We do have one winery here that makes a Syrah, but they import their grapes. They don't grow those grapes, and that's Farfelu.
Where do they get their grapes from?
Other Virginia wineries?
No, not even other Virginia wineries. It's other American wineries.
Oh,
because if you buy a bottle,
they're American Syrah grapes, though.
Yes,
because they can't produce it. They can't produce it there. So, in fact, their label says wine from America, not from Virginia. So it's somewhere in the U.S. they make their Syrah, but it's actually an award-winning Syrah. It's very good, actually.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, and the fifth dish was an adobo pork tenderloin.
Oh, it's pork tenderloin.
Well, what it is actually you butterfly out the tenderloin,
mm-hmm.
and you pound it out very, very thin, so you get this nice big canvas, essentially. And the filling is chipotle. You finely mince the chipotle chili with a little bit of the sauce that comes in the can, and roasted red pepper, fresh green pepper, and Parmesan cheese.
Oh my!
And that you spread in the middle. You roll it up jelly roll fashion, and you tie it off, in many places to hold it secure. I sear the outside, and then I finish it off in the oven, and it's just wonderful. And when you cut through it, you cut it, you take off the string, and you get these nice little pinwheels. But it's and so you got the tenderness of that pork, but it is the that chipotle is really packs a kick to it.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like it has
always
a lot of heat.
Tough. Yeah, it's always tough to pair a wine with something that has a lot of heat like that. I'm curious.
You need a really sweet.
That light. Sounds like a Viognier kind of wine. I would do a Viognier with that one.
You need something to cut into that really, really hot flavor.
Right. And there's another one. Pinot Noir is actually the most versatile of the wines. You could do a Pinot Noir with that one, but I would, if I were on Jeopardy and I had to buzz in on the correct answer, I would say a Viognier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we make a lot of, we make some excellent Viogniers here. The Crystalis Viognier would go very well with that.
Yeah.
Cabernet Franc is maybe an outside, but that's because that has a little bit of,
I don't think it has enough to cut that chipotle.
Well, that has like a raspberry spice
but
kind
it's,
of flavor
but
to it.
Cabernet
but it
Franc
is
can be
too hot.
Yeah, Cabernet Franc can be spicy itself, so you don't want spice with spice.
Well, no, like spice, oaky spice. Well, maybe a little pepper spice.
You're yeah, right. That's what I'm
No, thinking. I would definitely, my hunch, my if I were going to serve a wine with that, I would serve a definitely a Viognier.
Yeah,
great.
Yes, that sounds lovely.
I'm a slight disadvantage to you guys because I haven't tasted all these great Virginia wines that you.
Oh, you need to.
Yeah.
But you've got some. You've got New York is actually one of the. I'm not even going to say up and coming. I think is it Dr. Frank Constantine who's up there? He was featured on Andrea Emmer. He makes some excellent Rieslings.
Okay. Yeah, and we have a lot of Long Island has really come into its own. But there's also some wines in the Hudson Valley that are starting to emerge. But it's not yet known as well as some of the other wine regions in the U.S.
Yeah. And even some Merlots. I've read some good things about the New York Merlots. And actually, there's a in New Jersey, there's a Unionville makes a very well-rated Cabernet Sauvignon if you're doing like a heavy beef dish or steaks or something.
Okay.
It's Unionville is the label. It's like $8 a bottle for the value. I mean, you can't beat the price, and the
wow.
wine is excellent.
Yeah, I think most people would feel safest in it with a Cabernet.
Yeah.
In any of these, you know, kind of dishes that we've talked about that are seen as more hearty kinds of dishes. But I like that you've suggested some of the different grapes that you wouldn't normally turn to. I mean, obviously, anyone would turn immediately to a Cabernet Sauvignon with a beef stew or with a pork tenderloin.
Right.
But I like some of those suggestions. I'll have to try them out.
Yeah, I make a pork roulade, but I do a Louisiana-style roulade with andouille and tasso, and Archer's holding his nose. But I have that with a Cabernet Franc.
We're going to have to expand your palate, Archer.
I know. He keeps telling me this, but...
But the Cabernet Franc with that is just divine. But it sounds like your pork you're having has a lot of spice, so... That Viognier, any Viognier. Well, even a French Viognier, if you can't get a hold of. Chrysalis Winery here, I think, is probably the. They make the best Viognier, I think, around here.
I would agree with that.
And I think that would be excellent with that.
Now,
with
who makes a good pair to raviolios?
Raviolios?
You know, Chef Boyardee.
Oh, my God. White Zinfandel. What are you talking about?
Well, listen, we need to wrap this up because we've got other callers. So,
no, I think unfortunately the conversation didn't really go in the direction that it should when you got a Cletus, an Otis, and a Boo.
Yeah, we should be talking about a squirrel. You know, my Aunt Rose made. Oh, listen,
the armadillo pie.
Yeah,
I'm gonna find a recipe for armadillo pie and I'm gonna send it your way. All right.
Well, you know, my mama made squirrel stew, so we'll have to talk about that recipe.
Oh, gross. Yeah. Well, listen, Mark, thanks so much for calling in and joining
thanks
the show tonight.
Yeah, we'll have to have a show just with Mark.
We will. We definitely will.
Because
okay. Actually, we have to send him some audio clips of wine tips. Right, Mark?
Yes. You already
promised. You know,
promised
we should actually...
I'm waiting.
He's waiting.
All right. I'll go on a limb and say we should actually send him a bottle of Virginia Viognier.
We'll have to find out what the shipping thing is for New York.
And I can do a little tasting. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Well, we'll talk about that. You get to the rest of your show and have a great night.
All right. Thanks so much for calling.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Okay, now we have waiting on the line is Michael Perry from Squamish, British Columbia.
Okay.
So we have to talk with him. So, but now we're getting close to 24 minutes of this show. Maybe we should stop this show and record another show. What do you think?
Okay. No, I'm thinking, well, can I say another possible food pairing with the
Sure,
pork?
Go right ahead real quick.
Another Virginia wine varietal that does very well, but it's a hybrid. So folks may turn their nose up at it, but Vidal Blanc, a very fruity Vidal Blanc that's not... Well, I did mention the Old House.
You did.
Vidal Blanc. But that's a very dry finish on that one.
Yeah, but you need something a little bit sweeter for that.
No, it's fruit sweet, but yeah. It's not sugar. They don't use a lot of
residual sugar.
Residual sugar.
Right. Okay.
I was having a burping moment.
Oh, my goodness. We don't do that on this show. Well, listen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in for that conversation with... I was going to say Special Delivery Mark. That's wrong. Remarkable Palette podcast. And I will have the show notes. You can link to Remarkable Palette podcast website and check out his podcast. Oh, you know what? I need to say one more thing before we end the show. The Guess the Sitcom theme song from Thursday was The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. And the only person who guessed it was Paul in Philadelphia. So congratulations, Paul. You guessed correctly. All right. Now, we're going to end this show. We're going to start up right another one. So say goodbye for now, boys and girls.
Goodbye, boys and girls. This is Cletus.
Okay, bye-bye, boys and girls.
That was Otis.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.